Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. If you can't listen live, head to rodpeterson.com to watch all of our past episodes. Or join us at 4 o'clock for the repeat show. Let's head back to the studio now.
And we're back on Facebook Live at rodpeterson.com. Peter Labardius lined up to join us shortly on video chat. Just a sports update here on this Tuesday morning. It's an off day in the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals. On the ice, St. Louis and Boston are tied at two games each after the Blues' 4-2 victory last night. On the hard court, the Toronto Raptors will visit Golden State tomorrow in Game 3. The team split the first two games in Toronto, and the first-place New York Yankees will visit Rogers Center tonight. The Blue Jays are hoping to end a six-game slide. Clayton Richard will get the start against New York's Masahiro Tanaka. The Blue Jays in fourth in the American League East. We had Lou lined up to join us at a scheduled time. We've had a few technical snafus tonight or today as we get this show off the ground. When Lou joins us, we'll go to him live. But I see the comments coming in on Facebook, and when I ask for comments, that's when it starts flying, right? Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
But what did the guy write in about Craig Dickinson and Jeremy O'Day about being nice guys?
Did you see that one? I missed that one.
It's fine, but the reason I bring that up is I was at a sports banquet somewhere along the 306 this spring, and a guy said to me, I don't like that we're going back to what we were in the 80s, and that is we've got nice guys as our coach and GM, and nice guys don't win. It wasn't John Lynch, by the way.
They run the Kinsman Club?
Right. Lynch will be with us tomorrow in studio on set, by the way, but I'm just like throwing my pen in the air, Dave Hodge style, saying, you didn't like Jones. You thought he was a jerk and you wouldn't cheer for him. So now, not this guy specifically, but the fan base didn't like Chris Jones because he wasn't likable. He wasn't a Saskatchewan guy. Now you got Craig Dickinson and Jeremy Day who aren't just good guys, but they're good football guys. They know what they're doing. Why do people seem to be just on the tip? They're at the tipping point of wanting to jump on this team right now. That's the sense that I get.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too. You talk about Craig Dickinson and Jeremy Day being nice guys, and I know we were talking about McAdoo and the comments from Dickinson after the last practice about hucking and chucking and it's not going to be us. Well, that's what a good leader does. You have to back up your people. You're in the foxhole with them. You're not changing that now. So you have to support your guys. And if that's the philosophy that you set out and your offensive coordinator is going to start to methodically try and work the ball down the field, it's great. You know, it doesn't leave a lot of room for error like in the NFL where you have an extra play if you only get, you know, 1 or 2 yards. But you got to support your guys. And that's what Craig Dickinson's doing. Nice guy. Well, I think, you know, that's a nice breath of fresh air right now. And I think, you know, a good leader, you want to be likable and support your team. And if you know you've got the coach's support, then you feel better about going out and doing your job as a coach or a player or an assistant or a trainer or a general manager. And same thing with O'Day. If he's in a, you know, in a good place and doesn't seem like he's a taskmaster, well then Dickinson feels better about doing his job without having Jeremy breathing down his neck 2 weeks into the job.
What do you think on that, Duke? On the nice guys.
Now, I know you talked to this guy, this fan, over the course of the winter. Did you hear his comments yesterday? Ask the linebacking core if they feel that
he wasn't happy.
Craig Dickinson said that. He called him out. He straight called him out. He called out the backups saying, we need to be better. And he called out himself and his coaching staff. He didn't seem Mr. Nice Guy, pat on the back, good try out there, guys. No, he called out his team. So is Craig Dickinson a nice guy? Yes. But he clearly demonstrated in the last couple of days since the preseason game that he's not afraid to call out his team either when they need to be called out. So I think he's trying to find his balance, but I think he started off on a good foot here.
We'll continue on that in a moment, because when Craig Dickinson was hired, there were those in the media nationally saying that it's not a good situation for Craig. I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But we're going back out. Speaking of good Sasky boys, Peter Labardius joins us on the video chat. Lou, Calgary Flames, longtime broadcaster joining us. How you doing, Lou?
Look at the setup. Isn't this a beautiful thing? You got a great set. You have good people right there beside you. You've got the fine folks at IKS. I'm delighted. I'm in a great mood and glad to be on.
Lou, you're always in a great mood, but listen,
I'm not always in a great mood. No,
you're always in a great mood, and you're looking young, too, by the way.
Well,
the Flames were not expected to lose round one to the Colorado Avalanche. Nope. What happened?
Boy, that's not the easiest answer in the world, but I'll try to give it my best. You know, there was high expectations, Roddy, especially for the Flames, a team that finished first in the West. So it was a brand new neighborhood for Calgary, expectations really high. And in many ways, what happened to the Calgary Flames in round one was Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon, I think, showed the hockey world in that series, maybe not to the same extent against San Jose, just what an incredible talent he is. We've always known about his incredible skill. You go back to his junior days, which included helping Halifax to win the Memorial Cup in Saskatoon in 2013. You know, that was one of his coming out parties. But I think in some ways, the 23-year-old, you know, he combined greatness. To me, is about combining great skill and great will. And the Flames really didn't have a terrific answer for him. The funny thing was, is one of the Flames' biggest question marks, I mean, Roddy, how many times did we talk about it during the course of the season, was goaltending. Mm-hmm. Mike Smith was the Flames' best player in a five-game series. The problem for the Flames was MacKinnon and company were great. The Flames' top guys, i.e. Monahan and Gaudreau in particular, they didn't have an answer. They were not great. And one thing about sports, and I know football's a massive topic, always has been, always will be, that shouldn't change and will never change in the great province of Saskatchewan. Sports, it's pretty simple. When your best guys aren't your best guys and the other team's best guys are their best guys, things aren't going to go very well.
We got the Duke here, and we've got you. Darren DuPont. I'm going to
turn D.
I'm going to turn the mic over to these guys. What do you got for Lou?
Lou, how are you?
Awesome.
Yeah.
This awesome. Is the best. Lou, Calgary has a guy Matthew Tkachuk, who is a bit of an agitator. You're watching Brad Marchand be Brad Marchand at his best in Boston in these playoffs. I guess just a straight question. Now that we're down to a best of three, who do you like in this series?
Derek, I have a difficult time, to be frank, betting against Marchand and betting especially against Patrice Bergeron, although this series has taken on some real different twists. And one of the big concerns now in this series is Zdeno Chara, who took a puck in the mouth, as you guys know, last night. Did not look good, came back to the bench for the third period in a full face shield, but did not participate. And remember, the Bruins have already lost solid puck-moving defenseman Matt Grizzlick in the series after the hit that ended up in a one-game suspension for Oscar Sundquist. So I think that has been a massive change. Boston will go home for Game 5. But what is Zdeno Chara's availability? And now when you have two really key pieces of your back end not available with a St. Louis team who really feasts and makes their money based on a heavy, hard forechecking game. I mean, I love McAvoy. I think Krug's played his best hockey ever in these playoffs, the young American defenseman for the Bruins. But when you start to miss people like Chara and Grizzlick, I'm sorry, Juko Vakanainen, and I like him, the Finnish young defenseman, he's not those guys. So the deeper you go, now I start to feel if Chara can't be available, you might have to give a bit of an edge to the Blues.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, we talked about the last two games and just the massive swing that we've seen from one game to the next. How do you see the rest of this thing playing out? Is that you can continue that, or can St. Louis keep it rolling?
Double D, we've had lots of talks, and I think the more I've been around the game, the one thing that really for me is abundantly clear, I'm not a big fan anymore of momentum really carrying over from one game to the next. I think each and every game is its own entity. You saw in Game 4, the Blues were embarrassed in Game 3 to a certain extent. I think the emotion, the hype, Jordan Binnington had a rough night, a rare one in these Stanley Cup playoffs, but the Blues went back to work again last night. So, you know, there's been a lot of seesaws as far as games are concerned. Already mentioned the fact I don't like where the Bruins are getting as far as their defensive core is concerned, but also mentioned the fact that any team with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, and guys, if you track their history and you go all the way back to their time at World Juniors, Memorial Cups for Marchand, where I really got to know Brad in 2006 in Moncton when he helped the Wildcats to the final of the Memorial Cup and the Quebec League championship. I'm a big believer in one thing. Guys who know how to win, generally in these moments, on these stages, find a way. Now, that's not to suggest that St. Louis doesn't have a few of those types of people as well. But, you know, I expected it to be a 6 or 7 game series. You can never account for injuries, suspensions, and everything that's gone hand to hand. But, you know, it's turned into a heck of a series, and I won't be surprised if it requires a game set.
Lou, one more, just going to the fan board. Brian Firth wants to know your thoughts about this year's draft. I'm excited to see where Kirby Doc goes, myself from the Blades, but how do you see the top five shaking down?
Well, Roddy, I'm really excited from a Western Hockey League perspective because it's a great year as far as the Western Hockey League class after, to be frank, one of the worst years as far as, you know, top-end draft picks. As far as the top five is concerned, you know, it's very likely to be Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, who had an incredible year, 17-year-old, just turned 18-year-old from Finland, who was great at the World Junior. He was outstanding, helping his country win the World Championship. Bowen Byram, I think, the outstanding defenseman from the Vancouver Giants. And then I won't be surprised if, you know, Dylan Cousins and Kirby Doc are right in the wheelhouse. I could potentially see three Western Hockey League guys going in the top five. Am I sure it's going to play out that way? No, I'm not. But I definitely think that those three guys are all going to go in the top 10. So this draft is very much about two things. The Western Hockey League in particular, great year, and we knew that if you go back to, you know, the Ivan Hlinka-Gretzky tournament where Canada won the gold medal in August in Edmonton, and 11 of the 22 players on the roster came from the Western Hockey League, and it is a massive year, Mr. Peterson, for guys from the red, white, and blue. The U.S. National Development Team program, this is one of the best years, despite the fact they didn't somehow win the World Under 18 Championship, but it is loaded, starting with Hughes, Zegras, Boldy, go on down the line, Cole Caulfield, who, you know, broke records at the World Under 18 Championship with his goal scoring ability. So the Western Hockey League and the United States Development Team are probably the highlights of the draft going in.
Lou, you've got a nice head start on your tan, and may I just say you've done so well for a Greek kid from the wrong side of the tracks in Saskatoon, my friend.
Well, you know, Roddy, you're the star of the show there in my home province. There, that's been the case for a long time. Well-deserved. Excited about your show. And, you know, I can say this because this is a different kind of show. I've spent my whole life wanting to look a little like a Greek god, but most of the time it's just a damn Greek.
Captain Lou, enjoy your summer. We'll chat soon.
Okay, guys. Best of luck. I think it's awesome, and thanks for having me.
You betcha. The great Peter Lombardi is joining us from video chat from Parts Unknown here today on the Rod Peterson Show. The comments continue on the Facebook live stream. Love when you send those to us. Guys, two Saskatoon guests on video chat today. Colby Armstrong from Pittsburgh, Peter Lombardius from Saskatoon. And I have a feeling, and we'll have our analytics staff on this, Darren, how many viewers we'll have from Saskatoon. I bet you it's a ton. We're going to get the Rush talk in there, but hey, they love their sports talk in Saskatoon. I think they're starved for sports talk up there.
I think so, and we're going to find that out, right? I mean, it's great. We get to see the comments. We get to see where everybody's watching from, listening from, and the beautiful thing about this is we're here on Facebook too, and so we can interact with the comments, and you can see Lou with the tan, and we can see, you know, how many people are watching and things like that, but we haven't even dived into the audio analytics on the website yet. So now we go back there, you got a whole nother group, and they're going to get to be served too when we get the text line open and the phone line open. So
that's for this generation.
It's cool.
I'm just showing up. I'm wondering, are we allowed to curse on here now that we're on Facebook?
Yeah,
Did that come up?
That's come up a lot.
You know what? That's one of those things.
I'm not going to curse, but I just wondered, like, if you let out a little bleep of a deal.
It's one of the things I think everybody's sitting there being like, are they gonna swear? Can they do anything they want?
I think it's unbecoming. It's unprofessional.
I don't know. Right.
If you did happen to drop a bomb, it wouldn't be quite as frowned upon.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
if an F-bomb drops out, it's not like we're going to lose our broadcast license because we don't have one from the CRTC.
My bet's on Lynch.
We're on Facebook Live. However, I don't feel that I'll be swearing.
I don't have a big
I don't, need but to. If somebody does. But Todd Ripplinger showed up at our news conference last week. My good friend Ripper. Thank you, Rip, for all your support. He's like, can you drop F-bombs like spitting chiclets? And I'm like, I just,
exactly.
Yes, but I don't really want to. But I will say this, and Clark Monroe is telling me in my ear, that's why I ripped out the piece, that we need to go to a commercial here right away. When we come back, we're going to do all CFL talk the rest of the way today on the Rod Peterson Show. And the reason that triggered in my memory is when we did the interview with Wally Buono, who actually will go down as the first sit-down interview for the Rod Peterson Show. Wally was dropping bombs.
Really?
Boom! Like everywhere in the interview. He wasn't swearing. He was just dropping info bombs everywhere. And I love me some Wally Buono. Like he said in that interview that he wished he would have had a chance to coach the Riders one day before his career was over. I would have liked the opportunity to work with Wally Buono one day because I think we're similar type of guys.
What would the fans have done? How could they have...
They couldn't have handled it.
They couldn't have done that. Wally.
I'm of the mindset everything happens for a reason. Wally didn't coach here, unfortunately, for a reason. And I just don't think the fans could have handled it. I don't know. But anyways, load up the questions. It's all CFL talk. Daron Carter in BC. Noah Pickton's on the market. The Bombers are coming here Thursday. All CFL chat after the break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
We've had three major market corrections in the last year. We're looking at recessionary times ahead, not sure when. Very difficult to predict the markets right now, just with geopolitical issues down in the States and in China. And you've got the two largest economies fighting and throwing tariffs at each other. So it's a really scary time in the markets.
Brian Baker, managing partner and investment fund advisor with 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc.
The markets go up and they go down. You're generally, over the course of the last 100 years, can expect four good years and one crappy year. The problem is how do you time it? It's almost impossible to time. And the last thing you want is a crappy year right before you take out your pension. The strategy is designed for people who are retiring. However, we also put it in a place for people who are 3 and 4 years from retirement.
Your investments matter. Talk to Brian or Jody today, your retirement income specialist at 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc. Visit yourinvestmentsmatter.ca.
Mutual fund products are provided through Investia Financial Services, Inc., and insurance products are provided through Custom Plan Financial.
Your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Rod Peterson Show continues Facebook Live at rodpeterson.com, where we have the audio-only feed just ahead of our CFL chatter sports update on this Tuesday. St. Louis Blues heading to Boston with the Stanley Cup final knotted at 2 games each. Ryan O'Reilly scored twice Monday night to lift the Blues to a 4-2 win over the Bruins in Game 4. The series resumes on Thursday at TD Garden. The Blue Jays begin a 3-game home series against the Yankees tonight. Toronto hoping a return to Rogers Center can turn things around after an 0-6 6 road trip. So that's what's going on. Did you guys see the photo? It was, I saw it on Spittin' Chicklets Instagram feed of Brett Hull giving this to somebody on the ice from the Bruins.
You know what? I watched.
It's on Spittin' Chicklets. No,
I watched him come out and get everybody fired up. It looked like a wrestling promo when he was doing it, like Ric Flair or something. And he's like, "Let's go Blues."
It was awesome.
Ah, he's fired up. I didn't see the two-finger salute, though.
I think he had a beer in one hand and the bird in the other.
About right.
And people are like, "God bless Brett Hull."
Is he active on the speaking tour, the dinner
Holly?
Tour?
No.
I can imagine he would be a riot with those.
His dad and his uncle still are, Dennis and Bobby Hull. Brett's not. And by the way,
Dennis is a legend.
Hello, as my good friend Tiger Williams said to me, the guys of that era don't do the public speaking tour for the most. Like I'm talking, the old timers do. Yvon Cormier, Brad Park. But guys like Brett Hull, Mike Modano, when's the last time you saw them blow through town to speak? They don't need the money.
Maybe that's
it. That's the biggest reason. But I love Brett Hull. Met him at Craven, early 90s.
Really?
It was a good time. Yes. So some comments here. Let's go to the Facebook feed. Oh, great to have you back, Rod. You and Don Cherry, the two voices that I grew up listening. He's 85. What? How old is this guy? How old do you think I am?
What is with the... I haven't watched a Don Cherry segment in years, but I tuned in the last two games. Is it just an homage to Bobby Orr these days? Like, is that all we're doing now?
I don't even really watch anymore.
I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
I'm out.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm out on the Cherry thing. Don Ryback writing us on Facebook, went to training camp for 5 or 6 days. Zach threw picks each day. No other quarterback did. And this team makes high percentage throws. Whew. Can they just tone it down until the games count? Okay, not train. Am I wrong in saying that? And I'm not even the voice of the Riders anymore. Tone it down, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence Nunn was great at training camp.
Yeah, do you want him to play great now?
Like, I thought he was going to be the next Terry Greer in this league, and once the lights came on, it was a lot different. Some guys are practice players, some guys aren't. They're doing different things. I think people are so ready to jump on Caleros and Stephen McAdoo for the past couple of years, and they're just looking for, like you said, why are people so at the edge with this team? I don't think it's an O'Day thing. I don't think it's a Craig Dickinson thing. I think it is they are just so on edge with Caleros and with Stephen McAdoo and this offense. And let's face it, that's the marketing side of the game. You know, last year's Riders defense being the stars of the show, that's kind of an anomaly in football and especially in the CFL. Offense is what sells tickets, and that's where the fans are. They're concerned they're not going to be entertained. And I get that. I get that from that perspective. From inside the locker room perspective, that's not what they're there to do. They're there to win.
If they win 13 games, 10-9, the Riders will be happy.
But we have so many
people
complaining. But will the fans be happy?
The fans won't, but who cares?
We have so many things in our life that are negative or that get us down or whatever. And I think fans were looking for some sort of positivity in training camp. It should be, you know, we're looking for this something to get excited about, to that escape. The Riders is that escape for people. And right now it's not an escape because you're worried about Caleros' health. You're worried about us putting up 1 point in a preseason game. So you're looking for that. This is supposed to be my
excitement. There's nothing sexy.
We're going to be good. You know, it's going to make me feel good. I'm happy. And we're not getting that escape right now. That's, I think, what people are worried about. And that's a problem for sure. When you go to that place, your happy place, and it's not a happy place, that's not a good thing.
Why do people love Daron Carter? I mean, there's an excitement. There's an entertainment factor. Why do people like Willie Jefferson? Yeah, these are good players. I get it. But there's also the entertainment factor. And when you look at the Riders this offseason, where's the sexiness? I mean, their best signing, who is, you know, one of the top 10 players in the league, is an interior lineman. You know, there's not a lot of fireworks. There's not a lot of excitement about that. And that's what fans want to see. And so the sexy factor just isn't there. But the sexy factor doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the success factor.
Yeah, well, so there are a few things. We may go overtime today, although I have to tape a television show at 1
o'clock.
Is there
a siren?
So, yeah, I want to get that Dan Levitard. Sorry, can we get on that, Clark? Anyways, when I was with Wally, one thing I love about Wally is he would say the same thing on the air as off. There's, you know, he doesn't care. I said, well, and actually his daughter, Christy Buono, was there. And I said, I think Duran's going to be great for you guys. And I said, I can still call you guys, right? And Wally's like, oh, yeah, I'm still affiliated with the team. And I said, will he sell tickets for the line? I hope he sells tickets for you. And Wally's like, he won't sell tickets. Kind of just waved his hand. Almost like he doesn't know what it's going to take to sell tickets in BC.
He's been there a long time.
Right. If he doesn't know, yeah. Who does know? He did hint that there's some things coming down the pipe with the BC Lions. Like, by the way, even though this league is going through some troubled waters right now, in a variety of areas. I mean, there's the player safety issue. There's the talent pool in Canada shrinking. There's the big markets. The league's not in danger of folding up and dying in the next 2, 3, 4 years. It's just not. But it needs to be tweaked, and it has to have some things taken care of. But I'm not qualified to speak of what would work for the CFL in major markets because I've lived in Saskatchewan 45 of my 46 years. I don't know what it would take there. I can't speak for it. Derek, you've lived in BC and Alberta. Maybe you have a little more of a national view than I have. I just don't know what it takes. But I think marketing's been a major problem for the CFL for a long time.
100%.
Because when you have got a great product and people either don't know about it or aren't partaking in it, that's a marketing problem. The CFL is a tremendous product, always has been. I'll turn it over to you guys, but I don't think the CFL's problems are quite as big as everybody wants to lead you to believe that they are.
No, I mean, I think the league is doing well outside of a place like Montreal where they've kind of done that to themselves. I will give the Argos credit. They are trying, but I mean, that's a difficult market to put your place in. I mean, the Leafs have a lot of excitement about them. Obviously, the Raptors have a ton of excitement about them. TFC won a couple of years ago. It's hard to compete there. Winning, obviously, is a big factor in a lot of this, but the Argos have proved that they're not. And Rod, you talk about the league, and they haven't done a great job as a league as a whole and as individual teams. I mean, I see the other day one of their former staff poo-pooing the numbers that the Raptors are getting, saying, wow, you know, the Grey Cup gets just as much. Well, you know, stop being so inferior. You know, you can get out there. To me, and I'm happy to see with the Riders this year, you've got to provide more than just the game now. The game is good enough for the three of us sitting here. That's all I care about, and that's what really, you know, when you go to a game. But today's consumer and today's viewer, they demand more, and you have to put a package together. Gone are the days of the halftime show with the dogs. I mean, we all love the dogs.
At the time.
Yes, but it is transition, and I'm glad to see the Riders, you know, making that move and having the summer concert series and bringing in people like Tennille Arts and locals like that. I think you need to do it. The Eskimos are kind of ahead of the game. They've been doing it for a couple of years.
Leading the league in concerts, the Edmonton Eskimos. Yeah.
That's something that, you know, in Vancouver, it's got to be more than the game. And once you get them, that's when you sell the game. That's when you get them in the building. That's when you can sell the product on the field, because it still has to be good. We all know that. But you got to get them in.
Yeah, marketing too is a big part of it, and you got to market around the stars too. I know sometimes, yep. You know, it's the disconnect between the business and the on-field product, right? In the front office and the on-field product. And you've got to have some continuity, because you got to win games. I mean, winning sells. But, I mean, this team, you know, through the Jim Hobson era, was selling, even if for some reason at times you didn't win, right? But they won a lot. But you start to build around stars, right? I mean, it's whose jersey are you going to wear in the backyard when you're playing on the street park, right? You know, and you're playing in the playground. If you don't know who's on the team every year because you're playing Moneyball and you got to manage a cap and you're trying to win every game and get the most you can out of every position, which a good football team's going to do, that means a lot of turnover, because you can always get somebody cheaper. You know, receivers with college and opportunities with leagues starting in the States and folding. You know, those players become more like dime a dozen players. Hey, it's hard to build that familiarity, so it's hard to sell merchandise. It's hard to get people coming back to see the players.
Well, we look at it from a Saskatchewan perspective. It's not their fault that players sign one-year contracts and they're in and out of a revolving door. It's not the Riders'
fault. Don't blame
fault. Them. You can't.
Don't blame the players
them for that.
Either.
No. And you can't blame the players either. But it is a problem. NHL's the same. Players are, for the most part, switching jerseys every year. But you talk about stars, Solomon Elamimi, and there were questions coming in here on the Facebook feed about did the Riders sign damaged goods? He hasn't been on the field yet. What was yesterday? 16 days through training camp. No Solomon Elamimian yet. I know from my Vancouver contacts what I believe is wrong with Solomon Elamimian. So I'm watching the situation very carefully to see how this all plays out. One of the words that I got from somebody in Vancouver, one of the terms or phrases was he wouldn't have passed a medical.
Really?
If he wasn't fit enough to play, i.e., he couldn't have been that damaged of goods when the Riders signed him because they would have put him through a medical, right? First?
Yeah.
But they got reported by Three Down Nation, $160,000 tied up in Solomon Elamimian, and he hasn't been on the field yet. So there's one star, right? A former most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League. I don't know there's a lot of green Elamimian jerseys being sold out of the Riders store right now, but it is what it is. What are you pointing
Vanstone,
at, Darren? What do you see?
Bring back the dog show.
Rob Vanstone says, bring back the dog show.
I love it, of course. And the wiener races around the baseball park.
I mean, it is starting to get to the point where it's a little bit concerning with Elamimian. When is he going to get on the field? This isn't a team that is going to practice load management. You know, they can have guys taking extended periods of time off and just cruise their way into the playoffs. It's going to be a dogfight for 20 or 21 weeks now to get into the playoffs. They need every one of their starters, and if this guy hasn't been on the field yet, it's starting to get a bit concerning.
Questions on Facebook, some good ones here. Brian Eitnayer says, Rod, you can say the way it is now, why did Willie not re-sign? Did we try and lowball him or what? Look, I think people are making far too much out of the phrase that I, or the notion that I can say whatever I want. I still can, but you have to understand something. Willie Jefferson is from Stephen F. Austin University in Texas. I believe he's from Houston. He doesn't care about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He did not grow up idolizing or loving the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He signed here because of Chris Jones in 2016. They didn't sign here because it's the Rough Riders. And Chris Jones was gone, so he left. It's pretty simple. And now Willie's been around a little bit. In terms of veteran stature, he probably went to the team that he believed had the best chance to win. And maybe the Bombers threw a little more money on top of it, too.
That's the key. You just said it. And don't ever blame the player for taking more money somewhere. And I don't know what the contract negotiations were, but careers are so short. This is a business. You cannot look down upon this guy. And maybe the Riders didn't feel that he was worth what he got in Winnipeg. So be it. I mean, he won't be the first. He won't be the last.
No, and maybe they didn't have the cap room in their scenario or whatever the situation was. But, you absolutely can't blame the player for taking the money. Not in the CFL where careers are short and where, you know, you're not signing million-dollar deals. You have to take care of yourself because, hey, that's your skill set. They don't have big, fancy, a lot of them.
And remember what was going on. The Rider, this is where the Rider fan has to be careful for what they wish for. The Riders were kicking tires on Bo Levi Mitchell, and that was going to be a pretty hefty price tag. Without knowing where the cap was going to be. Now that everything's shaken down, some of those teams are going to be in a bit of a bind. BC is going to have to do some fancy mathematics. I think we were all expecting the cap to go up a little bit, and it didn't. And maybe there's going to be a reset on philosophies about paying the quarterbacks this huge salary.
But this is why armchair general managers love sports so much. There's so many different ways to skin a cat. So Tom Brady takes less money so that they can spend more money in other positions. By the way, he's won 6 Super Bowls. Where there are other teams that have won Super Bowls that are paying their quarterback or their MVPs the most money, and they're paying guys at non-skilled positions less dough. It's a different way of looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
Would you not want Mike Riley or Bo Levi Mitchell? Anybody would tell you they're the best players in the CFL.
Yes.
The Riders were prepared to pay Bo for sure.
But that's probably why.
And maybe Mike Riley.
But maybe that is a factor on why Willie Jefferson is not in green and white this year.
You were tying together?
Yes, and I think you're right. I think Willie's loyalty left to Cleveland. You know, I think that was a part of it. You have to assume he enjoyed his time here, and he played well, but his loyalty was then tied to money. It wasn't as much to Chris Jones, and if the Riders were shopping around and trying to do the math on where they were going to fit everybody, and they thought they had a chance on Bo Levi Mitchell, you become a little skittish about paying $200,000 to a defensive end.
But I think I know what you're saying, right? I mean, if you've got $700,000 and you're saying, hey, we're giving this to Bo Levi Mitchell, or we're offering this money, Willie, sorry.
Yep.
If that doesn't work out, maybe we'll come back to you and we've got some money for you. And he says, okay, I'm not waiting.
Yeah. See? And
you're right.
As a secondary prize,
loyalty.
They got Mika Johnson in here.
Pretty good one at $250,000. But the thing, here's the thing. Everybody wants to get mad. People need to check themselves. They want to get mad at Willie Jefferson because how dare you leave the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Well, hang on a second. Josh Bartel got kicked out like last week's trash. because John Ryan was available. And I pretty intimately know the negotiations or the talks that went on between John Ryan and the Rough Riders in terms of the dollar figures and so forth. It got to a point where there was significant pressure on the Riders to sign this guy. John was willing to go somewhere else, but he didn't want to go somewhere else. But, you know, part of the Riders' thing was they really love Josh Bartel. And he was very cap-friendly for the longest time in Josh Bartel's CFL career. He was making the CFL minimum. I'm not sure he did on his last contract or not. But how many times did Craig Dickinson say, as the special teams coordinator the last couple of years, that Josh Bartel is an excellent punter. He does exactly what we want him to do. Because people always looked at his net punting average, and it was the lowest in the league. Craig didn't care because Josh put the ball where they wanted it to be. Craig Dickinson, if nothing else, is honest. He's a lot of great things, but one of the number one things is honest. We opened the show talking about that because Craig was getting roasted on Monday for saying that we're not going to be a Huck and Chuck offense. We're going to be a small ball offense. But I'm getting off track, but Craig is a very honest guy. They love Josh Bartel. So you Rider fans, not all the Rider fans, but some are saying, how dare Willie Jefferson go to Winnipeg? How dare you leave Saskatchewan? And yet on the flip side, let's just put Willie in Josh Bartel's shoes. If somebody had become available that was sexier to you than Willie Jefferson, he'd have been kicked out like yesterday's trash.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of sympathy for Josh Bartel right now.
No sympathy for Josh Bartel. So why can Willie Jefferson not look after himself? And I'm not talking about you specifically, Brian. You think there's some sort of inside story as to Willie Jefferson, why he left? There isn't. He didn't have loyalty to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He had loyalty to Team Jefferson, which is the way that it should be. This is not new. Teams over here, players over here. This whole all for one, one for all, again, sounds great when you're painting it on the wall of a locker room. It doesn't really hold as much weight as it used to. And it's whether it's a Chris Jones, the coach, or it's the players, there is zero loyalty anymore. And it's not going back. It's actually probably getting worse and worse and worse. No, there's my rant on the day.
I agree wholeheartedly. Put that up on Twitter. Cut that out. Boys in the back.
Did you hear that, Clark? Racket.
Yeah, there it is.
It was a beauty, Clark. Okay, you got a comment?
I'd like that.
Oh, we're good. You're right. I mean, it's business, and it's going to take a while. People aren't going to wrap their minds around it because it's their escape, and they want to believe that it can be, you know, more than it is sometimes.
You can't go buy a 23 or a 34 jersey and assume that guy is going to stay here like Ronnie and George did. You know, like that's not how it goes. And don't forget, Ron Lancaster didn't start here either.
You know, Ottawa.
We forget that sometimes. Some of these legends, Wayne Gretzky didn't play with the same team his whole career. The days of guys playing the same place and taking a hometown discount, and you bring up Tom Brady, I mean, he is making $16 or $18 or $20 million. Like, it's not like he's not going to be able to feed his family either, but those days are gone. And especially in the CFL, I mean, you talk about some of these salaries, it gets a little difficult, I think, for these guys to say, I'm a little bit loyal, but I'm going to get an extra $20,000 over here. I mean, that's significant to these guys. It's not like they're making $20 million. I mean, it does become a factor.
Well, every situation is too different, by the way. And Brian's comment scrolled past here and said it was just a question. I understand that, Brian, but I'm just trying to answer your questions as honestly as I can. And whether I was still on the sports cage or here, the answer is the same for Willie Jefferson. That's where his loyalty was. What else do we have here? Blaine, we don't want to play against Willie. We know what he can do. I'm not sure I understand that one. Jeff Scoggins says there is loyalty to the paycheck. From Tom, he says, heck, Brady's wife makes even more than he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he does. Yeah, good. From Dale, $1 million question. How long do you stick with Zach? Do the Riders sink or swim? I would give him 3 games and start looking at Fajardo.
There it is.
Come on. There come on.
That's why they're on the edge.
Zach Caleros is playing as long as he's healthy. John Lynch, who will be in that chair tomorrow, will say Zach Caleros is GWH. Great when healthy. When Zach Caleros is on the field, he's good. I don't care about the 9 touchdowns versus 13 picks last year. I don't care about it. I don't care that he doesn't have good fantasy stats. You know what? I don't even play fantasy. I live in reality. Zach won 10 games last year, the Rough Riders 12 games that they played. Zach Caleros is, you leave Zach Caleros on the field as long as he's healthy because he's going to lead you to wins. I've said this a million times on the radio. One thing about fantasy stats, FanDuel, DraftKings, and whatever y'all play, because I don't, they don't have wins. The W. They don't have wins as a... You should get 20 points because you won the game.
Don't you get wins in hockey goalies, I think, is the only...
But not football quarterbacks, no. You don't. So anyways, we're going to take a break here. More of your questions. Our poll question today,
will the Raptors win the NBA Finals? We've had 3 major market corrections.
And we're back. Our poll question is, will the Raptors win the NBA Finals? Our one-day poll question from yesterday, will Chris Jones be an NFL head coach one day? 72% saying no, 28% saying yes. Today's poll question at our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show, will the Raptors win the NBA title? You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, back live on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com. That's the audio-only version. Sports update on this Tuesday, an off day in the Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals. St. Louis and Boston are tied at two games each after the Blues' victory last night, 4-2 at home. On the hardwood, the Raptors will visit Golden State tomorrow in Game 3. The team split the first two games in Toronto. Don't forget our poll question, who will win the NBA Finals? You can vote in the next 24 hours. We'll tell you the results tomorrow here. It is at Rod Peterson Show. The first-place New York Yankees will visit Rogers Center tonight. The Blue Jays are hoping to end a six-game losing skid. Clayton Richard. Who's Clayton Richard? He's the starting pitcher for the Blue Jays. Do we know who he is?
No.
He's not even a household name in his own house.
Sounds like a guy that would have pulled beer for me at Weyburn back in the day.
Richard. Yes, he does. Yeah. He'll get the start against New York's Masahiro Tanaka.
Heard of him.
Blue Jays in fourth in the American League East standings. And that is about it as far as our sports update goes. Just want to mention Ambassador Coffee, our coffee provider here on the Rod Peterson Show. Set design furnished by Source Office Furniture in Regina. So thank you for making the set look so good. Derek Myers with me. Darren DuPont riding shotgun. My Paul Schaefer. Are you okay over there? You look.
I'm great.
You're just relaxing.
I'm relaxing.
He's getting hungry.
It's a great place. Yeah, I am getting hungry. It's
almost time.
It's lunchtime.
There's donuts in the sponsors lounge over there, by the way. If you check out my Instagram feed at Rod Peterson Official, my personal, you'll get a look at the story of today's story of this show. And sponsors can come and sit right and watch the studio before a live studio audience. As somebody said to me on the weekend, pay to play. I like that.
Ah,
pay to play. Sponsor the Rod Peterson
Show. I'm a huge fan of that. We need a laugh track, maybe, because I don't know if we're funny enough to get the laughs. So that technically, as the show continues to evolve, a laugh track or one of those signs up here that has applause just to indicate to the live studio audience what they need to do.
So people are responding. Facebook feed. Can you get a sponsor for the Facebook feed?
Yeah.
To be honest, we can get a sponsor for just about anything.
Brought to you by Mightdale Petroleum. Yeah. Kyle Halverson, hashtag ranting rod, like that's new or something. From Blaine, just saying people are PO'd because we have to play against Willie Jefferson. You'll get over it.
Was Willie, correct me, was Willie Jefferson the defensive player of the year last year?
For the Riders?
No, for the league.
Of course not.
Okay, well then.
You ask questions you already know the answer to.
I'm just stating the obvious.
BK Graham writes, hey Rod, when are you going to have the Rough Rider Pep Band on the show? Da 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 da.
Could you imagine the walls rattling when they get going?
Yep.
You seriously, it's George Strait and then
the Pep Band
are your two favorite musical artists of all time.
And the guy that sings Old Town Road. From Don. Rod, you and Vanstone. Zach was on the field for 10 games, but RD had more to do with 3 wins than Zach did. Zip it. It's a team game, Don. Not putting up with your crap. Not today.
You know what? I got a comment on that, too, because I've heard this before. And I said, Zach had 10 wins last year. He had 10 wins. Well, he didn't win those games. He didn't do it. Well, there's something that correlates the team winning and him being in the lineup. It was the one common denominator in those 10 games that was consistent through all those 10 games. Doesn't mean he was actually making all of the plays, but whatever it did, it put confidence through the lineup. Everybody was more comfortable. And for whatever reason, everybody played to another level when he's around. And so, yeah, maybe the throwing completion percentage and the yards and the touchdowns and stuff aren't sexy and don't look like he's actually winning the games. But there's something to be said about, hey, when he's on the field, they're winning.
I don't know who this question is to. Sorry, Zach Mills writes in, who's paying you to be on the Caleros train. I don't know if he's talking about me, you. Yeah. I like Zach. I think he's a tremendous quarterback. And my wife always said that my personal relationships with players cloud my judgment. And she's probably right, but I'm not apologizing for that. I think Zach's a great player.
Go ahead. I will say this, though. You only go as far in this league as your quarterback.
Of course.
And Zach Caleros of 2018 was not good enough. I know he was on the field for 10 wins, but that guy wasn't good enough to get you to a championship. My only question is, are these the same fans that were calling for Brandon Bridge last year? How did that work out? I do think that the Rioters heavily, Paul Jones, they got to get the next guy. They need to find, I see Darian Durant's name popping up through the feed every once in a while. You got to find that guy that could come in here. Is David Watford that? Well, boy, he sure didn't do himself any favors Friday night. to prove that he might be the next guy. But don't forget, you know, when Darian Durant was a starter, I think he was 21-20 touchdown to interception ratio the first couple of years. I mean, there will be growing pains with the next guy. I think they need to start finding the next guy, though. And then Zach Kolaris is the quarterback for 2019. That's undisputed in my mind. But come 2020, I want to know that there's a succession plan. And maybe Cody Fajardo's that. I don't know yet. But they got to get, you know, he kind of seems like recycled a little bit. You know, you get that kind of that feeling. What is it, five camps? And he's been around the league already. I want to start to see who the next succession plan guy is. And we didn't know Darian Durant was the next guy until he was the guy.
You got to trust the football people on this.
Yes, yeah.
You do. And Kimberly, by the way, writing us on our Facebook feed saying that we should get Darian Durant on the show. Doubles will be on the show next week. As a matter of fact, he was lined up for Thursday of this week, game week, and then something came up for Darian Durant, which, by the way, he still thinks he could play. Darian is actually backing off on a lot of commitments. He doesn't want to sign up for anything long term for anything because he's thinking that he might come back and play. But nobody really knows what Darian's thinking.
What about Kevin Glenn?
This is the latest that I heard. Well, I know for a fact that Kevin's waiting for a call. But I remember last year I was walking out of somewhere with Luke. Luke and Darian are this tight.
Yeah.
They used to be roommates. And Luke leaned over to me, and Luke Mullinder, of course, and said, "Do you think Doubles is serious about playing?" And I said, "No, I don't." But now he is. I guess he misses it a little bit. I don't think he misses the paycheck. He's been very smart with his money. As a matter of fact, I think he's bored. That's the word that I'm getting. Darian is a house dad right now. He's financially sound. You know, he made into the millions in his time with the Rough Riders. He's healthy. He's not beat up. He's waiting for a call, as is Kevin Glenn. But by the way, I think the Rough Riders are in a pinch right now. I think they are in a significant pinch. I teased this earlier, never really finished the thought. There was a Toronto reporter, CFL reporter, who said to me, "I think Craig has walked into a bad position."
Oh,
Craig,
yeah.
Dickinson with the Rough Riders. And I said, I was still the voice of the Riders at the time, but my opinion has not changed. I said, no matter who the head coach would be, they would have been in this position. So with this football team, he's talking about, is this team this good beyond the quarterback position? I think there's talent there, but with Zach Kolaris and his injury history, no matter who the head coach was going to be, they were going to be in this position. As long as Zach's healthy, I think it's a good position to have. But they did go hard after Bo Levi Mitchell, were rebuffed. He stayed in Calgary. I don't know how hard they went after Mike Riley. I believe there was some desire here to go after Trevor Harris. That was not successful. But do you think Craig Dickinson walked into a bad situation? I do not. Most head coaches, when they take over a football program, are taking over a disaster. That's why it's open. They fired the head coach. He's taken over a 12-win team, which hasn't changed a ton. I guess my point is I don't necessarily agree with the notion that Craig Dickinson has walked into a bad situation. You guys?
No. I mean, it wasn't that Chris Jones was fired either,
right?
I mean, he left on his own for what he would consider a promotion. Go down to the NFL. Get that opportunity to get in the door. So it's not quite the same thing where most head coaches walk into a bad position because it's a tire fire and somebody's fired and now you got to come in and pick the pieces up. I think he's in a good spot to try and keep things rolling, but maybe the only thing I could think of where he's been put in a bad spot now is that he's got pressure because Chris Jones, you know, increased the wins now to 12 wins or whatever it was last year. Now he's been passed off the baton to continue the next leg of the race and to move us closer to a Grey Cup.
I would say that the team is not in as good a position as they were when the season ended last year. Based on Friday, your depth doesn't look great. You haven't upgraded a quarterback. In fact, it could be argued that your stable of quarterbacks maybe isn't as strong. And to be determined on the defense, because you've lost, well, in my opinion, which was the most key ingredient to the defense, and it wasn't Willie Jefferson, it was the defensive coordinator Chris Jones. So as I sit here on June the 4th, I think it is a not as good a position as they were after that West semifinal last year. So I could see where those comments come from.
Viewership is picking up, but we need to go off the air. Daryl has asked Derek Myers how the West semi may have gone with Zach in instead of Bridge. Curious, you know what? Hold that thought, Daryl. Tomorrow we'll put that to John Lynch, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster, and former Rough Riders offensive lineman Mike Abu-Meshrick. He is migrating to the Rod Peterson Show, and his debut is tomorrow, same as you two boys. So thank you for coming over to Derek Myers and Darren DuPont. Mostly thanks to you for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, with the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.